The Spirit of Antichrist. Chapter 11. Is God's law being thrown off? Even now the restraints of God's law are being thrown off, and the floodgates of iniquity are being opened. In the summer of 1887, Professor John Fisk of Harvard University delivered a lecture in Oakland, California, of which the following is a portion of the synopsis given in the Oakland Inquirer of June 27. Mr. Fisk took as the text for his remarks the fifth verse of the third chapter of Genesis, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The legend, from which this sentence is taken, Professor Fisk said, is borrowed from one of the books of the Zoroastrian scriptures. All the evidences indicate that it was incorporated in the book of Genesis at a late date, after the Babylonish captivity. None of the earlier prophets or the writers of the historical books of the Bible have left a record that they knew the story of the Garden of Eden. It is a real Persian myth. In intention, it is one of the attempts which theologians have made from the earliest times to reconcile the existence of evil in the world with the theory of the goodness of God. Mr. Fisk then went into a discussion of considerable length to establish the relativity of all knowledge. "We know nothing," he said, "except by contrast with or relation to something else. If there were only one color in the world, we would be unable to conceive the idea of color at all. If everything were as sweet as sugar, we would not know what taste means. In the same way, evil exists only by contrast, the contrast of a lesser good with a greater. Evil may be defined as a low stage of existence looked at from a higher one. There is ground for the hope that evil may be evanescent in the universe, but it now exists as a necessary condition of the development of man, like the relation of the shadow to the light. Were there no evil in the world, there could be no morality, no man in the highest sense, human beings would be so many puppets, but such a thing as character would be impossible. Just think of it. A professor in one of the leading universities in America, an institution that molds the thought and character of thousands of the young men of our country, openly teaching that sin is a necessity. That evil is only undeveloped good. And for this he is not rebuked, but rather applauded. Let no one say that it is impossible that the world should ever again become as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. The time will come when in Christian America vice will be counted virtue. With such teaching as the above, from so high a source, it would seem that that day is not far distant. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? We have known of such a thing as an adulterer quoting the seventh commandment to his paramour, in justification of their crime. In the days of Jeremiah, the professed people of God would steal, and murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and would then go to the temple and stand before the Lord, and say, "We are delivered to do all these abominations." The man, who knows the human heart, will not be surprised at any wickedness that any man may do. It is not strange that men fall, but it is a miracle of saving grace that any walk uprightly. It may be said that the teaching concerning evil, which we last quoted, is from a Unitarian source, and therefore cannot strictly be charged to orthodoxy. That really makes no difference, since culture is fast becoming the religion of the day, but take the following from Dr. Lyman Abbott, editor of the Christian Union. Each disciple of Christ is to judge for himself how far the law is thus fulfilled in his own character, and is at liberty to cease to regard any provision of the law which has ceased to be useful in the development of character. The italics are Dr. Abbott's. Again, he says in the same article, "If any man is living in sympathetic fellowship with God, if his impulses, his desires, his aspirations, are divine in their origin and character, he is no longer under rules and regulations." That agrees exactly with what we have quoted from spiritualist writers. They simply claim that there is a continuous divine inspiration in all men, and consequently that every man is a law unto himself. To the same intent, Dr. Abbott further says, "Just in the measure in which he is at one with God in character, he is free from all laws external to himself. The law is not destroyed, but when it has accomplished its purpose in him, it is fulfilled." When such teaching appears in such a paper as the Christian Union, and from such a man as Dr. Lyman Abbott, it may be taken for granted that it is quite popular. Unfortunately, we do not have to take it for granted. The idea that the law of God is abolished, or, what is the same in effect, that each disciple is to be his own judge as to how much of the law he will keep and what provisions he may cease to regard, has been openly taught for years from many professedly Christian pulpits and in many professedly religious journals.